Guy Altobello dealt with Hanhart's second command, a guy named Joseph Basinski. Altobello would provide the names, addresses, car descriptions, and license numbers and schedules of the various salesmen that called on his son. How to rob a jewelry salesman. I happen to see on Facebook this morning, Mike Byrne up in Chicago puts out Chicago Tribune articles, and he put one out about William Hanhart and some of his jewelry theft gang. He had a big gang of Chicago outfit, kind of a lot of associates and professional criminals up there that went around robbing jewelry salesmen and jewelry stores. So how to rob a jewelry salesman. In every major American city, jewelry salesmen ply their trade by the hundreds of thousands throughout the country, carrying jewelry samples around in jewelry salesman cases, and call on independent jewelers. And, you know, they just travel around like any independent traveling salesman does. They travel in cars. They stay in hotels. They eat on the road. They stop for gas. They use the bathroom. They do all the other normal road trip activities, which makes them kind of vulnerable to these guys, makes them a soft target. The professional jewel thief needs intelligence on these guys, though. So when the FBI broke up this jewelry theft ring of Chicago Police Superintendent William Hanhart, a lot of these trade secrets were revealed. Now, we kind of knew what they were, but we got some solid information when they took this whole crew down. There's in this article in Tribune, they had a guy named Guy Altobello of Elmhurst, and he worked in his son's jewelry store, which was called Altobello's, and it was in Wheaton, which is a far west kind of Chicago small town suburb. And Guy Altobello dealt with Hanhart's second command, a guy named Joseph Basinski. Altobello would provide the names, addresses, car descriptions, and license numbers and schedules of the various salesmen that called on his son or his son's store. He could even give them an approximate time of how long they would be in the Chicago area and when they came and when they might come back. An example of this was real specific, was one day in 1996, Altobello passed along the description of a salesman's rental car that called on his store that day. Hanhart then used a police subordinate. You know, he called a sergeant, you know, it's Commander Hanhart, you know, would you find out about this car? It's a rental company car. And so they found out everything they could from the rental company, and they got more of a fix on the guy. And then they started trying to find the guy to see where he goes next or where he's staying, what hotel he's in. And they know that he's going to have maybe $100,000 worth of jewelry or less or more, but he's going to have a lot. Now, when they took this down, they arrested this Joseph Basinski, and he was carrying around, he had a case of some kind, and they found descriptions of salesmen, car descriptions, home addresses, hotel names that these various salesmen would stay in, telephone numbers, and other detailed information about travel schedules, and he had it for on more than 100 different salesmen. It is amazing. You know, and here in Kansas City, we had a crew. Johnny Joe Kalia, George Bruton, Jimmy Tolles, Crazy Eyes Abbott, John Caricio, they formed up this crew. Now, they all didn't go on every score, but if they got a score going and got some information, then they would, you know, get together. And they had people in the jewelry business. I can tell you that right now. I know one time our guys caught Johnny Caricio and Johnny Joe Kalia shadowing a jewelry salesman in an exclusive shopping area called the Plaza. These guys were just down there goofing around. They didn't really have a plan on what they were doing. They were just driving through, probably looking at the girls. It was a sunny day. I can't remember. And they see Kalia and Caricio and looked like maybe another guy. They couldn't tell exactly who it was. And they seemed to be like focused on a guy parking and going into a store, in a jewelry store. And so then our guys, you know, they drove around the corner quickly and came back and set up on them, trying to watch that store and that guy, jewelry sale, or that guy's car that went in. They found out later it was a jewelry salesman, and calling for some help to get down there, because, you know, you don't know how this is going to go down. They're going to take him down there. Maybe they follow him somewhere else. Maybe try to follow him to his hotel room and break in his trunk there, because they didn't do armed robberies. You know, to break in something, to break into a car and steal $100,000 score, the consequences are much less than if you put a gun in their face. But these guys, their antenna were up, and it wasn't any time Johnny Joe Kalia burned them. And you always know when you've been burned. Very few people don't let you know when they burned you, I've noticed. They'll give you a look. They'll come back by you. They'll do something. Some of them, it's just like a shift in their body. As you see them, they like come to attention, come to a little more alert, and they can't help but look your way. So they came to, they alerted on our guys and they were gone. They were totally gone. Now, the only time we ever really caught one here in the city, and we didn't do it, the intelligence unit didn't do it, but it happened is an alert district officer noticed a guy in a really nice car. I don't remember what Caricio had. It was John Caricio. Really nice car walking out into a vacant lot where a lot of other crap was thrown out there and throwing something down. So he pulls over and snatches him up and makes him walk back out. And the district officer finds a really expensive looking briefcase, and he finds a really nice looking salesman case. And so he looks in them and he sees that, there's some kind of something in there that indicated they belonged to a jewelry salesman. They got good information on Caricio. They couldn't really didn't have any probable cause to take him in, but they got really good information on him. Let him go, took the case and the briefcase in and booked it in as evidence, possible evidence, put it in the property room, got hold of the detectives. And then about that time, later that afternoon or the next day, the report comes in that some salesman's car has had the lock picked on the trunk. Trunk was opened and closed, and there was no, signs of forcible entry. And he lost, $70,000 or $80,000 worth of jewelry. And one of their guys, Jimmy Tolles, he was like an expert at being a lock pick. They always usually brought him along if they thought they were going to have to pick a lock, and especially in a car. Tolles used to go around to golf courses and pick the lock. Guys would leave really expensive sets of clubs locked up in their trunk while they'd play cards or they'd gamble at the suburban country clubs, and he picked the locks and get these really nice sets of clubs out. So they were able to make a case on Caricio, but he was not talking about anybody else. So that's how a jewelry theft ring works. And in our case in Kansas City, they were all mob associates, so they would have had to kick to the Sabella family or to Camisano or somebody. Hanhart and them, I don't know if I would imagine Hanhart, he got the money, he got the lion's share because he set up everything, and he was pretty tightly connected to the mob, the outfit. I don't know if he would have had to kick to him or not, then he probably did. And, they don't really like somebody having a piece of action that's really going well and making money for people unless they get a little taste of it. So I don't know. Anyhow, that's a quick down and dirty story about how you catch a jewelry theft ring. Thanks, guys.